This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Great Commission Part 2, was delivered on December 12, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Whoo, that was awesome. You know, you think that was good. Wait, if you can come here on Saturday evening, and they're going to have a concert for you, and bless you. And I would encourage you to come out, and they're going to be singing for us a Christmas concert. So it's going to be wonderful. Wow, that was awesome, rocking this place. Whew. Yeah, I want to just kind of explain something to you. You know, usually in the beginning of December, I always like to preach about evangelism because it is a season for us to go and reach our family and friends, to invite them to come into this fellowship. So we have like one more Saturday before Christmas. And this is your chance to go and invite someone to come and hear the good news about Jesus Christ. So we were going over the Great Commission. I remember last week we told you to... Oh, I heard one. We told you to?
Go.
Go. Tell it on the mountain. Yeah, go. Go, therefore, make disciples. I wish I could sing Uncle Ted. See, they got to give me all these props to make me as looking as good as possible. Because just by myself, I don't know. Go make disciples of all nations. So we went over that. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. And so we're going to continue in Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus gives us the Great Commission. So for some of you who never knew what the Great Commission was, it's the words of Jesus. And he says, is it up there? Oh, I think we got to, even if it's white, I think we're red, we got to, because the old people like me no can see red. Yeah? How many of the old people no can see red? Yeah. But you know what? You know why it's in red? Because this is Jesus talking. It says, go therefore. That's why you have your program, your bulletin should be in there. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So now we're going to go on the fifth one, is baptizing. You know, it's an important thing after we receive Jesus to get baptized. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent. That's another good word to understand, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So once we accept Jesus, you know, as our Savior, few things must happen. And I believe, foremost, we need to repent, turn from our sins. And when I think about repent, yeah, I think of, you know, making a full repent. Like if you, like for me, I was going like in a direction straight down. I mean, straight down to the pits of hell. That's the direction I was going. My lifestyle, my actions, the way I treated people was really bad. And then when I made the repentance, I had to make a U-turn. Now, you think about it. If you make a U-turn, right, you turn and you go totally in the opposite direction because a U is like... Now, if you made a V-turn, then you might be going a little bit off, yeah? So I think if you repent... And you not fully repent, but you kind of partially repent. You're still going to be kind of, your path should be this way, but you might be going a little bit off. I mean, if any tile layers out there, you ever laid tile on the floor? Nobody, just one, nobody. And if you're just like a 16th of an inch off down there, where you start, by the time you get to the end, you're going to be like half inch off or way more. Repent. So if you don't fully repent, you probably might be going like this, and God wants your path this way. And if the further on you get in life, the farther away you're going to be from your actual path where God wants you. So that's the first thing. After we receive Jesus, we repent, and then we get baptized. Yeah, and I believe that's important. In some cases, like if you read the Bible, some cases, like when Jesus was on the cross, that thief next to him, he wasn't able to get baptized. He was hanging on the cross, dying. And he told Jesus, "Man, remember me when you come into your own." And what did Jesus say? "Today, you'll be in paradise with me." This guy never had a chance to repent. And sometimes people will not have, he never had a chance to get baptized. But sometimes, you pray for people and they receive Jesus and they're in their hospital and they're dying. And, you cannot go steal them out of the hospital, and that'd be pretty crazy, yeah? You throw them in a wheelchair, you rush them out the door, you take them down Coconut Island, throw them in the water, and then they die. Right? No. So there was one who couldn't get out of her bed, so I just got a cup of water and I poured it over her head and I baptized her. That's the best I could do, being that I couldn't, take her to the water. So in the Great Commission, if you are able, Bible tells us to baptize them, baptize people. In Acts 22:6, it says, "Now why do you delay?" Some of us, we get saved and we never get baptized, or we wait. It says, "Get up and be baptized, wash away your sins, and calling on his name." So this is in this story, this was after Saul's conversion, because he was the persecutor of the church. And he was the one persecuting the church, but when he got changed, he got transformed, he was the one growing the church. And after he got knocked off of his animal, he was blinded. And he had to be led by his servants into the city. And then God called this guy named Ananias to go and pray for him. And of course, Saul had this bad reputation of persecuting Christians. But Ananias, he's so obedient. He prays for him. And after he prayed for him, he says, "Why do you delay? Go get baptized." So it's an important thing. He says, we shouldn't delay. Once we say yes to Jesus, then we should go get baptized. In Acts 10:48, "And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to stay on for a while." So what's happening here is Peter is called to go preach at the house of Cornelius. He's a Roman centurion. He's like a Gentile. Or he's a part of the Italian cohort. And he arrives in Caesarea, and he finds Cornelius' house. If you ever preach the word of God, this will excite you so much. He is called to go. He goes to Cornelius' house, and it is full with all his relatives. It's like, oh, what an opportunity to pray for people. There was like one time somebody called me to go to pray for somebody. It was way out in Wainaku, like in the sticks. Like, I not know. After Doro Mortuary, I don't know what's past there. Because that's the farthest I go, is to Doro Mortuary turn and right there. But it was like way, way in the boonies. And I found the house, and I went in the house, and the house was full. And this person was sick and dying. And they asked me to come. And when we see the house full and somebody's dying, yes, it's sad. But yeah, it's like, yes, Lord. You have an opportunity to go and share. So, I would often get calls from Doro Mortuary. They would ask, "Hey, we have somebody in need of somebody to officiate over a funeral." And my first response is, "What is the date? Check my calendar. I am free. I am there." I will go at every opportunity. Why? Because you don't know who is there who needs to hear the word of God. So yeah, when Peter gets there to Cornelius' house, it's full. So he prays, and they all receive Jesus. Oh, wow. What a harvest. That's like going fishing and filling up your bucket with mempachi. Yeah. Woo! But this is better because this is for eternity. The fish, you could eat them and power will come out later on. So he finishes preaching. They all receive Jesus. Then he orders them to be baptized. You know, but baptism, you know, that's a whole nother message we can preach. But basically, baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Jesus. So if you receive Jesus between you and God, baptism is telling the whole world that I believe in God. And if you desire to be baptized, because we haven't scheduled one in a while because of this pandemic, you let me know, and we'll meet you down in Coconut Island on any given day, and any given time, except for Tuesdays, because that's my day off, and except for Sunday mornings when we're in church. But any other time, you let me know, and we have James or Aaron go baptize you. No. I will be there. I will be there, and we will baptize you, and we will make Hilo Bay more polluted because of all your sins going to remain in the water. That's why the fish tastes good. And we'll do that. We will do that for you. So if you desire to get baptized, you let me know, and we'll make sure we don't wear black bibbidis with white pants, right, Pastor Aaron? He did that once. Like, oh, I don't know why, but okay. So we get baptized. After we get baptized, what do? Teach. We teach them. What do we teach them? I mean, imagine you receive Jesus Christ. Okay, I said yes. I got baptized. Now what I do? I mean, anybody had that question? Come on. Yeah, we get one. Anybody got received Jesus? Like, well, now what I do with this Jesus that I accept? What do I? I mean, I obviously I'm not supposed to stay the same, right? I'm not supposed to be cussing people out, drinking in the bars, and you know, doing all those nasty stuff. That's why we teach them. In 2 Timothy 3:16, this is like one of our favorite scriptures. This is all scripture. How much is all scripture? Yeah. Not just the ones we like. Not the ones that make us feel good. Right? The ones that talks about blessing us, right? All scriptures. Even the ones that tell we're going to have trials. Yeah, all scriptures is inspired by God and profitable. It benefits us, right? Profits us for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And it goes on, so that the man of God will be adequately equipped for every good work. You know, Paul writes this letter to Timothy, and he tells him that that whole thing, the whole scripture is inspired by God. Not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, but all of them. Scripture was written to teach, correct, and train us. So we teach them how that works. And if you are interested in learning, like, hey, I need to know what to do. There's two things. You can pick up a Yes booklet at the table, which explains your relationship with Jesus. Or you could come to our Bible studies, our life groups, and we will show you what we do and how we read the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture to exhort and teaching. So that's what we do. Here we read Scripture, we teach you. We give you something that you can use so that when you leave, you have something that you can do. Paul had sent Timothy here to the Ephesian church, and he gave him instructions on things to do until he returns. When he comes back, because Paul, he went out and he planted all these churches. He left certain people in charge, And then he went back and checked. We don't do things like that nowadays. What we do is we train people and we just like, hey, go. Yeah, that's what I felt like when I was up at the big church. They said, it's time for you to go. Go where? Go and plant a church. I don't want to go and plant a church. How many of you, if God told you to go plant a church, you would go? Be honest. Nobody. You guys disobedient, eh? God told me to go. And I had to go. What if I never go? Where would you be? You'd be at home watching football today, right? Thank God that I was listening, yeah? For once in my life. The one important time I want to listen. I was needed to listen. I want to listen. So Paul sent Timothy and he said, go. You know, if we did it this way, I would plant the church, put Pastor Aaron in charge, and I would go dig out and start another one, and then put somebody else in charge and go start another one. But sometimes, to start one church is kind of crazy. You got to think, when I left that church, like, oh, where am I going to get paid from? Because if they don't give, I don't get paid. But they won't give, so I got paid. So thank God for the faithfulness of the people. In Deuteronomy 6:5-9, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. Sometimes we keep the scripture, we keep it in our memory, but we don't drop it into our heart. I think we need to do that. And then look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. So we need to do this often, all the time. We talk about scripture. When you're driving, when you're riding with me, and you hear me curse the guy who cut me off? You tell me, hey, doesn't the Bible say with this mouth we praise God and we with the same mouth we curse man? What are you doing? Right? And we talk about all this time. When you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on your front as on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. How many of you get scriptures hanging in your house, on your walls? Yeah? Good kind scriptures? Like forgiveness and love and not kind of like the scripture I know says Jesus wept. I remember one scripture. The easiest one, right? The shortest one, right? Right, Auntie? Jesus wept. We are to love God. We are to think constantly about his commandments. We are to teach his commandments to our children and live each day by the guidelines in his word. Sometimes we live and we look, well, I'm not as bad as that guy, so I must be okay. But we cannot compare our lives, how good or bad it is, by somebody else. We need to live by what the word of God says. And so we go and we make disciples, we baptize, we teach, and then command, number 7. We have to observe everything that God commands us to do. I think basically he summed it all up in a love God and love others. I mean, instead of trying to remember that 600 something laws in the Old Testament, he summed it all up. Love God and love others, love people. Because they say that there's like over 1,000 commands in the Bible. Now, if God commands us to do something, you would think it's important, right? If God says, go do this, he wouldn't tell us if it wasn't important. He said, hey, go, water your green onions. Really? God tells us to go. It's like the Ten Commandments. God tells us 10 things that we got to do. It's not 10 suggestions. It's 10 commandments. In Deuteronomy 11, 26, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, how many of you like blessings? Everybody's hand better go up. The blessing, if, sometimes that word if is like, oh man, you know something's coming. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today. The curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. In Genesis 2, 6 and 7, God commanded Adam and Eve. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, well, he said commanded the man. That was Adam, saying, from the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Man, if Adam listened, if Adam listened, surely I would have probably eaten and caused sin to enter the world anyway. So thank God it was Adam and wasn't me, right? Now, if Adam listened and relayed the importance of this command to Eve, which he probably didn't tell her how important it was, but they didn't, and we live. Some people ask me, how come bad things happen? Well, this is a fallen world. The Bible calls Satan the god of this world, small g. It's a fallen world. Bad things happen because of sin. When God commands us to do something, it must be important. Or else, why would he command us to do it? In 1 Samuel 15, 22, Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of rams. I think he got it right that obeying, obedience to God is better than sacrifice. But when we obey God and we have that relationship in, we'll gladly make sacrifices. How many of you made sacrifices for the Lord? And how many of you were glad making that sacrifice? Yeah. I think the beer companies sales went down when I gave up things. And the tobacco, you know, that's why CVS don't sell cigarettes, because they lost my business. I gave up some things, which was like, yeah, great. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Romans 5, 19, for as through the one man disobedience, the many were made sinners. So we're talking about Adam here because he didn't obey God's commands. We were all made sinners. But so through the obedience of one man, which was Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. So when we accept Jesus, he makes us righteous, right with God. Disobedience to God's commands can cause us so much pain. How many of you never listened when God told you and it resulted in pain? Ouch. Pain and suffering when it was not necessary. Man, so if I was you, I'd just obey God rather than suffer. And then you have to call me up and pray for me because I'm suffering. I never listened when God told me not to buy that brand new car. Now I cannot eat. Yes. Disobedience to God's commands can cause us pain, unnecessary pain. And then the last point, remember this, number 8, I am with you sometimes. I am with you When? How long is always? Forever, always. Right? Yes, all the time. I am with you always. Even when you sleep, even when you, let me ask you this, is God with you when you do stupid stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. He is. He's always with you. He will never leave you. Like I said, sometimes if you don't feel like you're with God, it's you the one who moved. God, I am with you always. In Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. So if you've ever been like kind of shy or hesitant to go and make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to go share the good news with somebody, because it can be spooky. To honestly tell you, I had issues going to people because what if they say no? Well, it's a rejection, and rejection hurts. Nobody likes to be rejected. But after a while, it's like, you know what? I gotta do what God tells me to do. So if I go and they tell me no, that's not on me. I just did my job and I win. So when this was written, you know, he was telling us go and be strong and courageous. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid of taking this good news to our family, because imagine, I just cannot imagine somebody being in hell because I didn't go. Someone who's being tormented forever. Someone who's in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, like suffering. Suffering beyond our worst nightmare because we never go. Because maybe we wasn't strong and courageous. Maybe we was weak and cowardly. But God gives us the power in Acts 1:8. But you, talk about you, talk about me, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. So God is with us. He goes with us. He will give us his Holy Spirit. And we will have power. We shouldn't be fearful. We shouldn't worry about the outcome, because the outcome is not up to us, right? The outcome is not up to us, it's up to God. We are just called to go. In John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, this is Jesus speaking, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Jesus says we're going to do greater things than he did. We get to raise the dead, the spiritually dead, the guys out there who's dying. We get to share Jesus with them, and if they receive Jesus, we raise the dead, because they were doomed to death, but we spoke life. So again, Matthew 28:19, you have your outline. Can you read this with me? It says, ready, say, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Tell me this. If God is with you, and he is, what do you have to be afraid of? No, who said that? Who said nothing? See, nothing. Nothing. No thing. In the Great Commission, Jesus tells us to do these things. Go, therefore, make disciples all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, commanding all the commandments. And when we do this, well, even if we don't do this, he's going to be with us. So I suggest you just go and do it. Now, so if you haven't, if I haven't made God's word about the Great Commission perfectly clear to you, then forgive me. And I would love to sit with you, try and explain this to you further. But I pray that you would take this message to somebody who needs to hear it. And not just Christmas time, but Christmas and Easter. That's the ideal times, because that's when I think people are most willing. But I pray that you would take this and go find someone. Man, because there's so much people out there who are so desperate for life. And we have the answer. So I pray that you would take this. So before we sing our last song, you know, Washington Kingdom, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you never had the chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. This is the perfect time, because once you say yes to Jesus, then this Great Commission applies to you. So I'm going to ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, that you would pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right, you guys are all saved. The Great Commission applies to you. Lord, thank you so much. And I pray that we would really understand why you told us to go, and that we would go and share what we have with others. And I pray that you would open the doors for us and let the first few be easy and let them say yes. And as we get used to it, then it can get harder. But Lord, I pray that we would go and have great results doing what you have commanded us to do. So we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Okay. So, don't forget, we have a Christmas concert Saturday. And I got to say, when I asked you last week, remember, we want to get our children's ministry going by the beginning of the year. Okay, so I asked you guys to volunteer, to step up. God bless you. Okay. So we had 7 teachers sign up, 7 people. That's awesome. That's awesome. But I know we can do better. Because ideally, this is the ideal case scenario. High school, 1 group. Junior high, 1 group. And elementary, 2 groups. And in order for us to do that, we're going to need a whole bunch more. So, and then if we had more, then imagine if you get to watch these kids with one, somebody to help you. So you're not all alone, like kindergarten cop. But you have a partner. You have a partner, say, you go crack them. I ain't cracking them. No, we don't do that to our children here. But so if you still, we're always open to volunteers. We're always open to volunteers. So if you, God is putting that on your heart to step up one Sunday a month to teach our children. Man, let Jennifer know, because Jennifer's back there with the children now. Let her know that, hey, I can do one Sunday a month. No, just run off. Wait for her to come down here, because she's really taking care of our children, teaching them good stuff that they can take forever. So, man, that's great. 7 of you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But I know they're here. God always telling me, whatever I need is right here. Whatever I need is right here. So let us know. All right. So I know you guys get good voices. You guys ready to sing. So would you stand and sing? Join me as we sing.
Right on. Thank you, Pastor Scott.
And don't you dare start another church because James going to have to work really hard after that. Oh, God is so good. Amen? Amen. Let's take it out telling him how good he is this morning.
I can count the times I've called your name some broken.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.